We deal heavily with big data and we perform a lot of data transformations. And so we schedule and automate all these transformations with Airflow. Basically, we are using it for scheduling data and business analytics.
You're listening to the Data Flowcast, where we unlock the secrets of mastering Airflow for data engineering and AI.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Kenton Danis, and today I'm joined by Christos Bisias, who is an open source software engineer at GE Research. Christos, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. It's great to have you on. Let's go ahead and dive in. So for today's podcast, we're going to discuss how the GE Research open source software team contributes to Airflow. I'm very excited to get into this. I always love hearing from contributors to the project. But before we get into that, let's start with some background. Can you tell us about what GE Research does?
Yes. GE Research is a leading quantitative research and technology firm. We use a lot of machine learning, a lot of big data and emerging tech to predict movements in financial markets, try to answer the biggest questions in finance.
Okay, very interesting. And at a high level, how does your company use Airflow?
We deal heavily with big data and we perform a lot of data transformations. And so we schedule and automate all these transformations with Airflow. Basically, we're using it for scheduling data and business analytics.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so what does your team specifically do?
As you mentioned, I'm part of the open source team. We have our own open source projects that we are actively developing and maintaining. And we also contribute to other open source projects like Airflow on behalf of GE Research. And we provide technical support to the other teams that we have, which are using the open source software that we are developing and maintaining.
Okay, got it. So you're providing internal support to all of the teams that are using Airflow and also contributing to the project.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Very cool. And tell me a little bit more about why the company is investing in having you contribute to open source. That's not something we always hear about from Airflow users. And I would love to hear more about the why they think that that's a valuable use of time.
I mean, if you get down to it, it's just a business decision. It's much cheaper to contribute to an open source software and maintain it than it is to buy it or license it. And also, it's nice to have your own in-house technical support that knows your exact use cases. Because sometimes if you are depending on another company, a third party, and you need support from them, you cannot always share your exact business model and use cases and what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to use that for other companies to encourage them to contribute to the open source project as well, of course, as you're saying. If you contribute, you get to influence the direction of the project in the way that works best for your company. So, yeah.
It's always better to contribute your changes than to maintain a fork.
Yeah, of course. Definitely maintaining a fork is a challenging route. We've seen some companies do that, but they tend to run into issues, I think, at some point down the line. It's definitely a lot of work. Yeah, okay. Very cool. And so talking about a specific contribution, you've spoken recently about OpenTelemetry and Airflow and using those two together. And before we get into your contributions on that, I just want to hear more about this integration and why it's important to your team.
Okay. I think that I should start with explaining what OpenTelemetry is.
Perfect.
I don't think that a lot of people are familiar with OpenTelemetry. It's actually a collection of tools that we use to collect metrics, logs, and data. And then we use all this data to monitor our system and get a better understanding in a deeper level. So each data, each of these three types, provides a different view. Now, my presentation at the Airflow Summit focused on traces. So what's a trace? Let's assume that we have an operation, like, for example, we have a web app and we have a button, and that button makes a CRUD operation, makes a call to a backend API, and the API makes a call to a database, and then you return something to the API, and the API sends a response back to the front end. That whole thing, all these steps are a trace, and each individual step is a span. And to put it in Airflow context, a trace could be a DAG run, and the entire DAG run is a trace, and then each individual step, which is a task, it's a span. Now, the thing is that, so with trace and spans hold some data, like, for example, the start time, the end time, and then they have the attributes, which are key value pairs. And we can use them to expose internal values that we have during runtime. Now, we know the start time and the end time of a task from the web server UI. We don't need a span to tell us that. But the thing is that we can also create our own spans under a task and monitor individual steps. Like, for example, if a task consists of 5 or 10 different steps and it's very slow, or for some reason it hangs, we could create our own spans for each individual step, see how long it takes, and that's going to give us a lot of options. Like, for example, if we find that step 3 of the task is where it takes most of the time, like 80% of the task execution, we can find a way to optimize it, increase performance, or maybe refactor it or find another way. Anyway, you get so many options when you have all the insights.
Okay, interesting. So it's helping you profile those tasks and what's going on in them.
Yeah, it helps you gain better visibility. Like, for example, one task, and this is very common, someone could be using a task to make a call to an external service. And you can also monitor that. You can create another span for that, and you can know how long that call took and how long the operation the external service took, and connect all of them. And using visualization backends like Jaeger, you have a tree view where you know how long each node took to run.
Yeah, that sounds very helpful. And then, so this is something that you have implemented at your company and are using to help other teams, the teams that use Airflow, run more efficiently. Is that right?
Yeah, but I also contribute that all to the upstream repo. So that, yeah, and there are docs, and people can read the docs and enable OpenTelemetry. They can set up an OpenTelemetry collector and then enable that and start using it with Airflow and see how. So there are some default spans that get exported once you enable OpenTelemetry in your Airflow configuration. There are some default spans, like there is the root span, which represents the entire DAG run, and then there are other spans from one span for each task. But you can extend that, and you can add your own code and create your own spans from under the tasks. I mean, that was part of my presentation at the Airflow Summit. I had a few examples of how people can add their own spans under the tasks. And by the way, that all works in Airflow 3.0 and upwards. If someone is running an older version like 2.10, it's not going to work very well, because the initial implementation it wasn't working as expected.
Okay, I see. That's great that it's already working on the newest major version. I'm curious if you're, during your talk at the Airflow Summit or maybe remotely elsewhere, have you heard about other teams implementing the same thing now that you've contributed it back?
Yeah. After the presentation, a lot of people came to me. I had a few discussions with people using it, or they were keen to use it. I mean, they didn't know that it worked with Airflow 3. So I did a demo at the end of the presentation and showed it. And yeah, not many people were familiar with it. But a lot of people are familiar with OpenTelemetry. They just went, so they didn't know it worked with Airflow.
This episode is brought to you by Astronomer, creators of Astro, the leading fully managed Airflow service designed for the modern data stack. Whether you're orchestrating large language models, implementing a data mesh architecture, or streamlining complex workflows, Astro empowers your team to focus on innovation, not infrastructure. To see how you can maximize Airflow's potential within your data ecosystem, visit www.astronomer.io.
And now that you've done this implementation for your team and you've contributed it to the open source project, is there further work that you're looking to do on it? Is it now it works and it's done, or are you looking to optimize it in any way?
Okay, I think that traces are in a very good state. They're working, but I've been looking at other areas lately, like, for example, metrics. Now, the OpenTelemetry metrics implementation was very good, but I found a few discrepancies between the docs and the actual metrics that get exported. And so I've been doing some work around that. I'm actually having an open PR right now, an open pull request, where I'm trying to add a YAML file that will keep track of all the metrics throughout the project. And then the idea is to enforce some checks in the CI so that when people add new metrics, they always have to exist in the YAML, so that the YAML file will be the single source of truth. And also the YAML will be used to build the docs. And that way, we can make sure that there are no discrepancies. And so when you read something in the docs, it's there. If you enable OpenTelemetry, Prometheus, or might be using StatsD or Datadog, whatever backend you're using. Once you enable the configuration, you check Prometheus, Grafana, the metrics are always there. What you've read in the docs is there.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Love hearing about docs contributions. Those are really important. Outside of your work on OpenTelemetry and Airflow, are there any other Airflow contributions that you and your team have worked on recently that you think are particularly exciting?
Another work that I have been doing, I have been looking at the scheduler performance. I mean, we had a very powerful computer. We were running some DAGs and tasks, and we could see that it wasn't utilizing 100% of the CPUs, like for the scheduler and the workers. And so we started doing some digging, and we found out that the scheduler has this idea where it picks a lot of tasks to examine and queue. But in fact, after it picks all the tasks and retrieves them from the database, it applies a bunch of limits. And that ends up in case the scheduler has already reached the limits and it cannot really queue any more tasks, it just does unnecessary computations. And so that was decreasing throughput. The scheduler was doing all this work without actually scheduling anything. And we found out that if we just include the limits in the initial query that retrieves the task from the database, that makes the scheduler always pick up the number of tasks that you can actually queue. And also that's true for a DAG. Like, for example, you could have a limit that can schedule only 4 tasks for a particular DAG. It would have reached that limit, and then it would still go on and pick 30 or 40 tasks from that DAG. Although it was at the maximum level, it couldn't schedule anymore. So a whole scheduler iteration would just go wasted. It wouldn't schedule anything because it concentrated in a DAG where it had reached max concurrency. And so by including the limits at the start of it, that increased throughput a lot. Like, for example, if you have the heavier the load, the greater the performance increase. And that's something I've run a lot of tests. There are some people from Astronomer that have also run a lot of tests. And they've seen that they have come to the same conclusions as me, that's a huge improvement that makes a lot of difference. And so we are still running some more tests, but trying to cover all the edge cases and see that there is no regression. But if all goes well, that should be into the main repo soon.
Okay, that's great. I mean, probably inclusion in the next minor release. Yeah, that's a really exciting improvement that will impact everybody using Airflow, right?
Yeah.
That's a great example. Any other projects that you wanted to cover that you're working on, or contributions, I should say?
No, these are the major ones. And I'm also doing some, everything else is bug fixes.
Those are also very important, so maybe not as interesting to go through one by one. Okay, very cool. Well, thank you for giving the details on both of those projects. Those are both really valuable contributions for Airflow. I always like to end with a standard final question for folks, and that is, what would you most like to see from the Airflow project in the near future? Maybe that you're not already contributing on, but from others or something.
Me and my team, we are very content with what Airflow is today, but there are some very interesting changes in the Task SDK. I mean, the whole separation with the task execution path, that effort to make DAX language agnostic. Like, I mean, in the future, you could write DAX in whatever language you want. It doesn't have to be Python. At some point, it could even be Java. And who knows? With the whole separation of the Task SDK, it could be, at some point, people could be importing it into other projects and just using it as a dependency. I mean, that's very interesting.
Yeah. Are there other languages that you would write DAGs in if that was available today?
I mean, yeah, sure. Java would be one. And I mean, you know, not everyone is familiar with all the languages. Sometimes you end up in a project and you're writing a language that you hardly knew before. Like, for example, I wasn't that much familiar with Python until I started working in Airflow. And yeah, if you can do the same thing in a language that you are familiar with and you know best, yeah, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a feature that there's a lot of excitement around. Okay, well, that's great. Christos, it's been really nice speaking with you. Thanks so much for going through all of that. To close us out, what is the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
I think the best way is my email, which is available on my GitHub, and from my GitHub profile, you can also get my LinkedIn profile. That's another way to reach me.
Okay, great. We'll put all of that in the show notes so folks can get it if they need it. Okay, well, thank you again for coming on. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you very much. A pleasure for me too.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of the Data Flowcast, Mastering Airflow for Data Engineering and AI. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.